Hello, and welcome to the Glossy Beauty Podcast. I'm your host for today, Emma Sandler, beauty and wellness editor for Glossy. Body care is a big theme for the beauty industry this year, stemming from a renewed appreciation for holistic self-care and innovative brands and products with this viewpoint in mind. Established personal care brands are also getting into the mix, naturally extending their CPG focus into the broader body space. One brand to recently do this is Billy, the women's shaving brand that launched in 2017 and was acquired by Edgewell in 2021 for $310 million. Joining us today is co-founder Georgina Gulli to chat about that brand trajectory post-acquisition and other recent brand updates. Georgie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Where are you calling in from?
I am in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, fantastic. I'm in Manhattan. We're not too far from each other. So just to kind of jump in, since the acquisition in 2021, the company has been wildly busy. Can you kind of bring us up to speed on some of the things that have happened and what you're focused on these days?
Yeah, it's been just over 2 years since the acquisition and lots has happened. So when we were acquired, we were solely a DTC company at that point. And then shortly after, we launched into Walmart in 2022. And that was our first foray into retail. And then quickly after that, we followed up with, a national rollout across 30,000 stores in 2023. We launched into Amazon and Target and Ulta, Walgreens, Kroger, the whole shebang. And we also did our first international launch into Canada. So that was a huge year for us and a lot of change very quickly if you think that we were just a DTC brand for 4 years prior. And then this year has been a big year for us too as we've entered into the body care categories in a pretty meaningful way. And we've had an exclusive retail launch with Walmart this year. And then the products are also available on our website at mybilly.com.
Yeah, that's a lot to unpack there.
It's a lot. It's been busy.
I'm sure. So in the case of the Edgewell acquisition, kind of talk to me a bit about, what that new ownership allowed Billy to do or achieve and what it's sort of been like integrating this small company into this very large company.
Yeah, it's been a big change, but I think we wouldn't have been able to have the growth that we've had without being part of this larger organization. So, when we were acquired, again, we were just a DTC company. We had, worked out sort of a Walmart launch the following year. So that was, work that we did on our own. But to think going from one retailer and then going into, over 30,000 stores just the next year doing an international launch, there's no way we would have been able to, grow at that scale without sort of the support of, a big organization behind us, looking at their supply chain, their retailer relationships. They have an entire sales force dedicated to, getting their brands onto shelves in various retailers. So I think that they've really helped propel us to become, truly an omni-channel brand when, we would have had to work our way to get to where we are today.
As I mentioned at the top of the show as well, Billy recently expanded from sort of body hair to body care. How does this speak to the evolution of the brand? Tell us a little bit more about the body care products too.
Yeah. So, it was always from the very beginning, we wanted to be a body brand for womankind, and we intentionally didn't, we launched with the shave category, but we didn't want to sort of pigeonhole ourselves as a shaving company. So we had always wanted to be this go-to brand for women's daily routines. And so an expansion into body care for us felt like a very natural progression. And like all of Billy's products, our new body care was really centered around, women deciding for themselves what their bodies needed, what their bodies wanted, and then us delivering, high quality experience, but at an accessible price point. And that's really kind of the crux of what we did in Shave and sort of what we wanted to do with body care as well. And so, you know, we really looked at what were customers telling us they wanted. They were looking for sort of more a luxe experience, skincare benefits, but how can we deliver that in a more accessible way at an accessible price point? And so, you know, when we think about like our body washes and our body lotions, like not only did we want them to like smell great and feel great on skin, but really sort of designing it for different skin types. So whether you're looking for, you know, like a really deep hydration or a brightening skin or soothing, you know, we wanted to have options for you there. And then we also launched deos. And so we wanted to have, you know, natural deos. We were listening to a lot of customers. It sounded like people felt the choices were maybe an aluminium deo where they maybe weren't loving the ingredients there, or a natural deo that had some compromises with efficacy. And so really we worked probably for 2 years trying to develop these formulas and these products. And we've got two lineups of deodorant. One is an all-day deodorant and one is an AHA deodorant, which I love. It's amazing, really sort of preventing odor before it even starts. But both natural, both baking soda free, but still really efficacious and, you know, giving you that 24-hour protection.
And Billy previously had gone and launched dry shampoo, face wipes, lip balm, and this was back in 2020. I remember because I wrote about it. So I'm curious, you know, that's 3-4 years before the whole like body care, hair care kind of space started to take off. What led to those product launches? And what did you learn about the customer appetite for expanded product categories?
Yeah. So again, I think it was always, you know, the sort of brand's ambition to be just bigger than a shave brand from the very beginning. And so in 2020, and this was like on the heels, like the pandemic hit and then we launched. So the timing was crazy, as you can imagine that time. But what we wanted to launch were these products that were really sort of fuss-free, hardworking products that were part of your daily routine. And I love these products. They're still part of our portfolio. We've launched them on Amazon. I think the dry shampoo floof, we have to like take it down and put it back up because it keeps selling out. So they're still very much part of our portfolio. But I think when you think about those products specifically, we essentially launched into three categories. We did hair, and then we did face with the wipes, and we did lip care. And that's a pretty big leap to make when we're just sort of 2 years into making our name within the shaving category. So I think the learning from that launch was really the next time we do something, we really want to go deeper into a category versus spreading ourselves across sort of multiple categories. And I think, you know, with the launch that we did in body care this year, we wanted to own body care, right? And still have these hardworking products. It's still the sort of the thesis and the behind how we think about product development is still the same, these hardworking sort of fuss-free products. But you know, having really hardworking washes and lotions and deos, but really sort of owning body care. And that felt like a really natural transition coming from Shave. You know, our whole sort of Shave history, the last 5 years of that were really focused on smooth, healthy skin. And so going into body felt like a very natural progression. But again, focusing on body, not doing face and hair and, you know, lip at the same time.
So another thing that recently happened for Billy, which is pretty big, is that Billy signed actress and activist Jamila Jamil as its first ever celebrity partner. I'd love to chat about this. I mean, tell me more about, you know, what it's like to sign that sort of first ever celebrity partner, like why you did that. And given that Jamila is both an actress and an activist, is there something that Billy was trying to signal here?
Yeah, I, you know, we've partnered with you know, we obviously brands partner with many people, you know, from the very beginning. And we're always trying to be pretty intentional with who we partner with, whether it's on a small scale or a big scale. Jamila was, you know, the first sort of like biggest celebrity that we had partnered with. And I think we love her and everything sort of she stands for. And, you know, she's been so outspoken and such an advocate for, you know, having a healthy relationship with your body. She's very much against like toxic beauty standards. She's been very outspoken about that. And that's really what we wanted to, how we wanted to approach the body care launch was really around that. It was, you know, we felt that the body care industry, the beauty industry can sometimes sort of make you feel insecure about a potential flaw that you might be insecure about. And then, you know, coincidentally, they have the product that can help you feel confident again. And so it was really sort of, you know, it's a tactic, but preying on people's insecurities and making them feel less than for their natural bodies was something that we really wanted to push against. And Jamila has been doing that for years. And so when we came out with the body care launch, we wanted to create products that versus, you know, solving something that society has told you, you need to look a certain way and you feel pressured into doing. We wanted you to really sort of feel empowered in your body and say like, my skin is asking for this. And we will have a product for that, but it's really sort of you asking for it versus feeling like you need to sort of buy another product, add another thing to your regime. And so Jamila, you know, she was just a very natural fit for us. And we decided to reprise the 10 Things I Hate About You iconic poem from that movie. And we sort of reprised it in a way for our 10 Things I Hate About Body Care. And that was really about sort of, you know, the industry at large and how it's often preyed on the insecurities of women to try and sell them product. And so we had her deliver this poem, which basically is saying, you can't make me hate my body. And even if you try, I'm sort of going to be empowered enough and confident enough to say I love my body and I'm going to do what's right for it.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with the rest of our conversation. I find that dichotomy kind of fascinating because you're absolutely right. There are brands that have the typical, you know, these are things you should be insecure about, and we have products to solve these insecurities. But I've certainly have seen a lot of it with men's brands or men's wellness brands in particular, where the brands are kind of saying, you know, hey, you're fine as you are, you know, just be yourself. But if you're not fine with yourself, we do actually have products for that, or it's all related to like self-improvement. I'm so curious about your thoughts on that, because it's something that's been baked into Billy since the beginning. So like, how did you kind of come to this viewpoint, and how did you sort of try to work to make Billy not just a brand that is like, you're fine, but also if you're not fine, we do have products for you. I'm very curious because it's such a hard needle to thread.
Yeah, it is. And I guess if you go back to, you know, we started as a shaving brand and, you know, I'm someone that shaves, but I didn't appreciate this idea that I had to shave or I was expected to shave. And so I think the needle to thread for us was about choice. And it was really about everything is a choice, and we're not going to make you feel bad for doing or praise you in either way for doing one thing or the other, you know? And so this is not about shaming people who do shave or who don't shave. It is about celebrating the choice that we have as women to do what we want that makes us feel good. And there is no, it's sort of like the outcome is almost irrelevant to that feeling inside and how you feel. And I think, you know, when you look at the shaving category and the history there, I mean, women were absolutely shamed into shaving. And so much so that I think we were the first women's shaving brand that actually showed body hair. because body hair was so taboo. And so even when they were doing a product demonstration with a razor, they were shaving shaved legs and just, you know, you can imagine the body hair, but it's so gross, we're not going to show you. And so that just, you know, I shaved, but I didn't appreciate being spoken to that way. And so I think that sort of element of choice and that sort of being very intentional with, we're never going to, shame or, well, that's never our intention. And if you know, as a brand, you're not perfect and you might misstep, but being able to own that and sort of take it back and really sort of try and hold yourself accountable, that what we're trying to do is champion womankind. And that's always been our mission, and make women feel really great about the bodies that they're in and the choices that they make. And we can give them, you know, product choices, but never making them feel that they have to sort of fit a certain mold or, you know, meet a certain expectation that society dictates for us.
It is very interesting how many beauty standards are really relatively new. In the case of body hair, I've certainly have seen the ads from the 1920s telling women, oh, now that you have a dress that, you know, shows your ankles or your legs or shows your underarms, you should shave. And prior to that, whilst, yeah, there are certainly pockets of women who might wax or dilapidate in some fashion, it wasn't common. It wasn't until only really the 1920s when we had different styles of dress that we then ended up having a different beauty standard. So it's fascinating to look at this because it really is ultimately a choice, even if people never felt it was.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, so much of it is like, it's the ideas and the communication that we're and the messaging that we're surrounded by. And I think, historically that messaging hasn't been so healthy, right? And it's made people feel lesser than. And so I think a lot of what we do is, you know, we're trying to create products that we feel, you know, women will love, meets their daily routines, like meets an actual like physical need that they have. But we're trying to also create messaging in the world that hopefully is in the right direction and sort of course correcting where we've been for so many decades. And, you know, nothing makes me happier when I hear someone say like, oh, I wish a company like this was around when I was growing up as like a young, you know, a preteen or a teenager. It just, and sometimes that's how I feel as well. You know, when I sort of became a teenager, it was just, I didn't even think twice. I had to shave my legs. Otherwise it would be like, I'd be crazy, you know? And the fact that I didn't even have a pause in that moment or have like any sort of like critical thinking there to be like, why? And, you know, where's this coming from? I just sort of like followed along. And I think that's where we feel like there's some interesting conversation to be had and just, you know, sort of promoting that idea of choice. It just empowers people. And you might do the same thing. You might end up shaving or you might end up doing whatever you want to do. And that's totally fine. But you know that you're doing it for what reason?
Yeah. And I love that you just said people just sort of following along. You jolted a memory of mine that I had long since forgotten about. I was probably 13, no older than 14, and I remember asking my mom for permission if I could shave my legs. And I remember that, and she was like, yeah, that's fine. And then like 5 minutes later, she was like, just go really slow, okay?
Yeah.
I remember that so well.
It's funny. We made a kid's book around body hair a couple of years ago. And it was this idea that, you know, before you get to that age 13, starting to have the conversation about body hair with, younger kids, 6, 7, 8, and sort of say like body hair, like, why does it exist? And is it why it's normal? And, you know, and sort of just having that open conversation before they sort of hit that, you know, teenage moment where, you know, they may want to shave, they may not want to shave, but at least they're sort of coming into it a little bit more mindful and a little bit more consciously than you know, I did when I was a teenager.
So I'm curious, with all of this in mind, you know, do you think it is harder in today's social and political space to be a values-driven brand. I feel like every brand is almost demanded or expected by customers to have a stance on any and every single thing. It's like, what is Billy's stance on Hamas and Israel right now? Like, I'm not actually asking you that. Don't worry. But it's like, why would you as a brand necessarily have that position? I am curious what your thoughts are on being a values-driven brand in today's climate.
Yeah, I think for us, it's always been important. You know, obviously we wanted to grow the business, but it was always really important for us to know and understand, like, what are our values and how do we allow those values to sort of shape how we're going to grow our business? I don't think that means, and so I think, you know, for us, it was always about, you know, our North Star was that we wanted to champion womankind, and how are we doing that? And how are we doing that? You know, how are we talking the talk? How are we walking the walk? What are all the things that we're doing to sort of ladder up to that value and that sort of brand ambition? I think as we're navigating these like social and political changes, I think it's all the more important to really know what your values are and how you're going to navigate these potentially sensitive issues. I don't think that every brand necessarily needs to insert itself into every political and social issue. I think in the same way, I don't know if every person needs to be part of every single, social issue, political issue. But I think it's sort of, you know, going back to like your North Star and what are you doing? And, you know, I think there are certain topics that, you know, when it comes to women, like we would play a sort of like we would lean in a little bit more into those topics than if it was something that wasn't as related to our brand.
In sort of a different conversational direction, you know, as Billy expands into body care, what are you thinking about in terms of other big growth opportunities in the coming years?
Yeah. You know, I think like we're only 6 years old, right? So we're still very young when we sort of compare ourselves to these other sort of legacy brands that have been around for decades. And so I think there's still a lot of growth ahead. You know, even with if we do exactly what we do today, I think there's still a lot of, you know, brand awareness we can capture, a lot of market share we can capture. But beyond that, I think there's still a lot of growth within US retailers for us. There's additional stores we can go to, additional shelf space, hopefully we can capture. And then there's launching into new categories and new markets, right? And so today, Billy's in the US and in Canada, but, you know, our hope will be that we continue to grow into new markets and enter new markets. And the same goes with new categories as well.
Yeah, in terms of new categories, since you already offer face wipes, a lip balm, dry shampoo, do you think you could expand to those categories deeper, like hair care?
Yeah, I would say it's all a possibility, right? And I would never say we're never going to go into X category. But again, I think we do really want to be really intentional with how we're launching and expanding into multiple categories. And so we're being very intentional with the roadmap, right? We want to listen to customers. We want to sort of look at what's happening with beauty trends, look at the spaces where our brand can credibly enter, and make sure, I think we always want to make sure that we're not entering a category just for the sake of it, but we're bringing something fresh and differentiated and something that has the Billy point of view to that category. And so, you know, we're really excited. You know, this body care launch is a really exciting launch for us. We have, you know, I love the products. They're currently at Walmart and on our site, but hopefully, you know, they'll expand into other retailers beyond there. We'll do extensions and sort of go deeper again into those categories. And then, yeah, certainly thinking about after that, what would be some other categories that we can go deeper into as well. I think we really want to, you know, avoid sort of just doing one-off products in different categories. I think it's about going deeper, being really thoughtful and intentional, and having a sort of a differentiated offering.
To round out this conversation, I would love for you to tell us a bit more about some of the things that you're focused on for this year or the rest of the year. Obviously, body care is a big part of that, but tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, I think body care is sort of the big sort of thing that we are super excited about. But again, you know, we will be in year two of Shave in all these retailers. So I think that there's still a long ways to go in sort of growing that side of the business to become as big as we want it to be. And we're super, you know, ambitious with the growth. But it's sort of making sure that, you know, that's the foundation of our business. That's healthy, that's growing. And then as we look into body care, you know, we're excited. Like, we love to hear all the customer feedback and continue to iterate. And what else are you looking for? And so I think line extensions were really going to be something exciting. And again, getting those products into other retailers so it's more, you know, readily accessible to everyone. That's really the focus for this year.
Georgie, it's been such a pleasure having you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Emma.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Glossy Beauty Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It really does help us out. And of course, visit glossy.co/beauty for even more coverage of the beauty industry. Sarah Sprook Feiner will be hosting next week. Bye.